Alright, welcome back to episode 3 of Cracking the Code Nuggets of the Go. Fantastic to have you with us. And before we kickstart onto this episode where we're going to talk about the quantum versus PSF methodology in the year 2023 and usually how do we compare condo developments behind the scenes when we analyze projects for our customers and clients. So just want to give a shout out and thank you for all our participants for Lender Convention. And we're very happy that the convention came to a success. That was on 20th of May. Quick preview for what has happened. If you have missed it, have a look.
This is the year 2023. This is a full day event. 400 of our guests will be coming, 10 to 15 developers and partners sharing from our actual buyer and seller on their journey. So of course, I'm going to share a segment later. All the landed lovers will enjoy this event.
Hi guys, thank you so much.
Hey, we are the interviewers.
Yes, you have to meet the...
No, we interview you, not you interview us.
Oh, after I saw what you all did at the Cannes event last year.
Oh, actually we are property agents.
We're property runners.
I told the guys, you will be forever the roving interview.
So we had an event at Pan Pacific from 11 a.m. all the way towards 6 to 7 p.m. And of course at 10:30 when the doors opened, there were already a lot of participants there waiting. So we had a total turnout of 335 participants who bought tickets to our lender convention. We showcased close to about 100 different landed properties. And of course we had various different segments all the way from landed market trends. I had a segment for about an hour. So we deep dive into the current inventory level in some of the very popular landed enclaves, and we talk about districts such as District 10, District 15, 14, D19, D28. Of course, we deep dive also into specific lander enclaves within this district. So if you have came to the event and you have still not gotten your PDF pack, because the PDF pack from our PRB research team was available on that day with our PRB lander consultants, you can of course drop us an email at this email link right below at insights@prb.sg. We'll be very happy to send you the PDF pack, provided of course you have been one of the participants for the lander convention. Now, on that day, of course, we're also very happy because one of our buyers came on stage to share their landed buying journey together with us. And of course, one of our landed sellers as well shared their journey on the selling experience with PRB Landed Consultants. And we're very thankful for the turnout with our partners, sponsors, developers. Quick shout out to everybody that made this event possible, especially our PRB events team and the entire team that made the whole event possible. So what we're going to do also is that for every year now, we're going to have one landed convention, and every year we hope to be able to do something different, do it better, so that all of you out there who love landed properties can enjoy the experience. Even if, let's say, you are not in the season of hunting a landed home, I think it's a very great experience to come and have a look at how to select good landed properties, so that in future, once you're ready in your current season, you can of course then have an accelerated speed of decision making. Now, the next very exciting event will be Property Summit that's happening in August, and our entire team is currently now prepping for this event, so we hope that you can join us. The link is here right below. You can of course click on the link in the description box. That will bring you to our Property Summit page where you can purchase the early bird tickets to come for this 2-day event. This is going to be a full-on educational summit that we have different speakers. We are lining up close to 6 to 7 speakers speaking throughout the entire 2 days that will talk about various segments. Definitely more than half the segment will be investments into residential real estate. We're also going to talk about commercial properties. We're also going to talk about alternative investment as well. And of course, I think what's interesting is we're also going to talk about what is the accelerated path to build your first down payment if you're a first-time property investor. So we hope to see you on this particular summit with us at Property & Lim Brothers. Now, a quick recap on our latest media technology. Just to share with you, currently, based on our team, we're already at quite a mature phase that we can do quite a lot of media technology visualizations as well as what we call VFX within our home tours. Our aim is, of course, this helps our home sellers tremendously. It also saves the buyer's time because it makes the whole selling and purchasing purchasing experience so much more seamless. All of us has precious time to save in today's economy, today's market. We all want to make sure that before we head out for a physical viewing, we can already preview the home through a 10, 15, 20 minutes video right at the comfort of our mobile phones or within your home television screen. And I think even our home sellers, they want genuine viewings. They want to make sure that when the buyers come by, the buyers know what they're getting into. The buyers know the exact direction of the home. They know how many bedrooms are there. They know the layout. And of course, all home buyers, before making a purchase decision, they will still want to have a physical viewing. And of course, right now, a lot of our buyers that came for our viewings, our open houses, they usually have already seen the home tour for 2 to 3 times, and they still will want to experience a physical space. But the viewings become so much more genuine, so much more, I would say, savvy, in the sense that buyers already have previewed the home and they still want to come by to have a physical look and feel the exact space. That makes the whole buyer buying and selling experience so much more seamless, so much more, I would say, fruitful for all parties. And I think we just want to continue add value to the space. Now, for today's context, I'm going to continue part 3 of cracking the code. In part 2, I went deep dive into helping everybody to understand the key difference in terms of performance level on a PSF level and a quantum level between Covent Melody and one of the boutique freehold property within the walking distance range of a Covent MRT station, which is, of course, serving both projects together. So Covent Melody was 99 years, is currently close to about 20 years old. And then, of course, the other freehold project, boutique development, freehold. But why is it that in terms of performance all the way from 2011 until today, the performance is drastically different? And does it mean that the boutique project is no good? No. Basically, I also give a summary on when will the boutique development start to move up in tandem to match up to the surrounding price movement. So if you have missed the episode, do head back to episode 2, and that is going to give you a good understanding of behaviors of 99ers versus freehold, because in Singapore, the performance depends a lot on volume as well as popularity. We also talk about herd mentality in episode 1, and we also talk about the fact that when you buy into a condo project, you're buying into a community, and all this has human psychological effects, and it affects the valuation and transaction volume of a project. Today, we're going to talk about quantum versus PSF. Now, when you master this concept, it will make a lot more sense and easier comparison on how to determine whether in this season, when you buy into this particular project, should you go for PSF entry kind of methodology, or should you go for a quantum kind of methodology? Now, the key important thing that all of us have to first lay down in terms of foundation is to know that the main purpose of investing in a property is, of course, for the purpose and objective that the investment asset will appreciate after a period of time. And we all want to have a good return on investment. In short, we call it ROI. And one of the key rationale that investors love to invest in real estate is because real estate is a very different asset type. And if you have missed my episode before on NOTG, I talk about the 7 different benefits of why global investors love real estate as an asset class. Because if you talk about the most wealthy people in the world, no matter what business they are doing, they all have real estate portfolio. And one of the key rationale is because of this 7 reasons why real estate is a class of its own. So head back to the episode, do a quick recap. And now let's come back to this. So the main purpose of investing in a real estate asset is that you want to see your asset appreciate through time. Because if your asset didn't appreciate through time, then something is clearly missing. Because the very rationale of real estate is that real estate eats inflation for breakfast. Inflation basically already helps your asset to inflate through time, because as inflation happens in the monetary system, when our money supply continues to increase and when our buying power continues to drop in terms of the cash that you're holding right now, if you do not channel your cash into an asset class that rides with inflation, technically speaking, your cash is being eroded through time. Now, a quick example is that if you have $100,000 just 3 years ago, what could you buy with the $100,000 in these 2 items, a real estate or a vehicle in Singapore compared to 2023 right now, with $100,000, what could you buy with a real estate and a vehicle? So of course, $100,000 can buy you no real estate, but $100,000 is a component within a down payment of this 25% down payment that contributes to your overall real estate investment quantum. So in the past, maybe in 2020, you could have gotten a 3-bedroom in the OCR region for about $1 million. And back then, you only need $250,000 down payment, as well as a 3% or 4% buyer stamp duty. So you make up about $290,000 that allows you to enter into a $1 million 3-bedder. That 3-bedder, in today's context, in the same OCR region, let's say for example D19, is already at a range of about $1.3 million. And maybe let me just bring out this project called Regionville. So Regionville, 2020, 2023, very different. I'm going to show you in terms of the pricing, why is it different? So if you look at this, I'm just going to go to Regionville. We talk about this project in one of the NOTG Banter episode. And of course, I did not check the pricing of whether 2020 it was really 1 million, but based on my estimation and my knowledge, roughly it should be around there. Okay, let's have a look. All right, so in 2020, if you look at it, a typical 3-bedder at Regionville here, oh my goodness, that's at about 870,000. Okay, let me just take this example. 1152 square feet, all right? 950,000. In fact, there was a transaction of 888. Oh my goodness. And of course, I think some other listings were still hovering at about 800,000 in the year 2021. Just have a look at today's pricing. Latest done deal, 1.25 million. If I were to go to Property Guru, and I key in Regionville, have a look at the current asking price. And the same 1152 square feet right now is asking for about $1.38 million, which means that you might have to close at about $1.3 million. So that's exactly what I was talking about. Now, today's context, if I were to take the same $100,000, how much does it contribute in terms of my down payment for a $1.3 million property now? Very simple. Take out the calculator. Let me open up the calculator. So in the past, when the property in the year 2020 at Regionville was only maybe averagely at about $900,000, basically, a quick formula is that you just need to multiply by 0.29, and you will need $261,000 in terms of down payment and buyer stamp duty, because 25% plus about 4% buyer stamp duty and legal fees. Of course, there's a calculation method. Below 1 million is 3%, minus 5,004 is if it's above 1 million, we usually take 4% minus 15,400. So there's a calculation method, because the tiering system of buyer stamp duty is as such. The first 180,000 is how much, the second 180,000, and so on and so forth. But just for easy calculation, we usually take about 29%. So you need about 261,000 to stand by in cash and CPF to buy the $900,000 property. Now, if you come back to here, 1.3 million, how much do you need now? 130,000 times 29%. You will need 377,000 to purchase the same property. Now, take note, this property is the same. This property has also aged through time. Just have a look at how much Regionville is in terms of age. It started from 1996. Currently in the year 2023, 2023 minus 1996 is already 27 years old. You minus off 99, balance lease 72. Why is it that it has aged by 3 to 4 years from 2020 until 2023? It appreciated from 900,000 to 1.3 million, a $400,000 appreciation. 2020, your 100,000 contributed 38% into your down payment to buy that 3-bedder property at Regionville. Today, 3 years later, your 100,000 is only worth 26% of the overall down payment that is needed for the same property. So that is an illustration of erosion. And take note, if you have not taken a decision in the year 2020, because maybe in 2020, you were contemplating whether to maybe go for it, to go for a 3-bedder in Regionville, but you're thinking, hey, maybe I want to time the market. I want to wait for the market to come down. You know, it was COVID. A lot of things are uncertain. Let me wait. And but the longer you wait through 2021, then when 2022 came, it was the year of the Black Swan event. There's Ukraine war, stock market crash, crypto crash, everything is crashing, global recession fears, interest rate increased by 7 to 8 rounds. And now in the year 2023, you're just pondering, why is it that from 900,000, even through all this event during COVID, during global recession fears, but now the property has appreciated by 400,000 from 900,000 to 1.3 million. It's an appreciation of 400,000. And that is actually an opportunity cost that you have missed. The 100,000 sitting in your bank has also its own set of opportunity costs because it is now eroded in terms of buying power towards this property in terms of the down payment percentage that it could have had back then. So its power back then was 38% of the down payment. Now its power has eroded to 26% only. You have lost about 12% of the buying power in terms of contribution towards your down payment. That is an example of how this has happened through asset inflation through time. Going back to the second thing that you could have bought, 100,000 back then could have bought you probably a very good car, but now 100,000 cannot even buy you an entry-level brand new car because of the way that things has inflated. Now, something to note in terms of trending, usually in terms of uncertainty period, you will realize that some things appreciates and some things depreciates. Most of the time, during times of uncertainty, there's one class of asset that will appreciate. Number one is real estate. Number two is luxury goods. Why is it that during times of uncertainty, luxury products also appreciates? It's because during times of uncertainty, wealth and liquidity usually will flow to things that preserve value. So people are always hunting for store of value. They're always hunting for things that preserves in terms of value, and they don't want their cash to be eroded. Which is why when you talk to a lot of people nowadays, they usually do not keep much cash. They usually are always hunting for a store of value assets to plant their cash inside it so that it protects the erosion power that cash is currently suffering from. Now, let me come back to this approach again. So we have, actually, I don't know whether has been deviated, okay, but this is just a concept just to share with you the seven things that, of course, real estate investment does. And coming back to my first start point is that whenever you invest in real estate, you want to make sure that your asset appreciates through time, because if your asset that you go into doesn't appreciate, then technically speaking, the investment is not performing, which is the reason why we're doing this series called Cracking the Code, because we want to make sure that the real estate that you choose is the right one and that it will appreciate even along with inflation. And of course, inflation is just one aspect that will cause your property to appreciate. There are many other factors, for example, master plan, comparison, quantum versus PSF. And today we're going to talk about quantum versus PSF. Now, to illustrate this, I want to just showcase to you usually what is the mindset between it. Now, in the past, I was helping a couple of my clients to back then when I was still on the ground doing sales. And of course, right now, I'm running two businesses, Property Invest Media as well as Property Invest Realty. Back then, this was the era whereby these were the new launches that were available in the market. So one of my clients, they were contemplating to purchase a 2-bedder. Their entry quantum range is about $1 million, preferably something that is slightly below $1 million, but they can stretch up to about $1 million based on their TDSR and things like that. And they were contemplating, what should they buy? Because you have a nice selection during this season. I forgot what's the date already, but let me maybe just do a quick recap. I see whether I have the date or not, but I don't think I have it. Okay. Very simply, if I want to check the date, I just need to go back to when Sims Urban Oasis was being launched. Okay, so let me just have a look. When we come back here, we have to go to all data, refresh the report. We backtrack down. And of course, a quick shout out is that this is one of the tools that we utilize when we do our own analysis in the back end. Similarly, the inside sales team, we utilize tools from Squarefoot, HProp, We use SRX as well. We use 99.co. We use a wide range of tools. And of course, all these tools are very useful when we help our clients to analyze. This episode is not being sponsored by HProp or Squarefoot. It's basically just to share behind the scenes, usually what we do on a daily basis. Now, 2015 was the year that Since Urban Oasis was launched. Back then, during that era, if you notice, these are the two betas that I was talking about. It was around the range of 800 over 1,000, all right, to about 900,000. So let me cut back to this. So back then in 2015, this particular client of ours have enormous amount of choices. You can actually go for Glades. You can go for Points Residence. You can go for Skyview. You can go for Venue Residences, Panorama, Trail Residences. Of course, you will see two sets of pricing right here. First set is this. These are the range of asking prices by the developer at the show flat season, all right? So all these products were available, but our client was contemplating and asking us which should they go for. So what we did was that we did an entire analysis deck. This entire deck, of course, was the analysis on what we think will be good. Eventually, they selected Since Urban Oasis based on our recommendation because we think that in terms of the upward projection, the upward projection is more certain and there's a high probability of appreciation through time, through the next 3 to 4 years. And of course, true enough, right now, if you look at Since Urban Oasis, even we don't have to project until the year 2023, you just need to project until, okay, maybe let's look at the pricing right now. So latest done deal from a 624 square feet is about 1.14. So of course, that's close to about $300,000 appreciation. If you look at when it was just TOP'd. So let me just go back to this portion here. So around this season, it already appreciate close to about $1 million. All right. So let's come back to this. So how do we make sense of this? And why is this important? All right. So back then, when our clients was contemplating in the year 2015 on what to purchase, because back then there was a couple of all these launches. So you have a totality of about 7 launches that were all predominantly in the RCR zoning. Of course, you have some in the OCR areas, but they were all pretty much pretty competitive in the sense that they were mostly near to MRT stations. Good size development in terms of the total density. They are not boutique projects. They're usually more than about 200-300 units in the development itself. So what we've done was that we pump in the ranges of the two betas in terms of overall quantum that they could have. Vis-a-vis a nice safety projection of what could happen in 3 to 4 years time in the event that they hit their TOP date. So for example, for Sims Urban Oasis, the entry price back then was about 870 or 880K for some of the mid-floor units at these two size ranges. And then the projection was that it could have a potential to go up to about $1.02 million in 3 to 4 years time when it hit its TOP date. And the red color benchmarks were all the projected TOP expected asking prices. So of course, all this, we disclaim to our clients that these are based on our own opinions in terms of projection. And this is just based on a gauge. However, when let's say you want to invest in a property yourself, it's very important to understand this key methodology and mindset is that when you purchase a property, you must step back and resist the temptation to think that you will own this property forever. The reason is because we are in Singapore, we are bounded by ABSD, there is always a season that you might have more down payment, you might have more investments that you have earned from maybe your equity, your stocks, your business, your savings, your bonuses, or maybe you got married with your partner, you have kids, you want to get a bigger property, and there will be a season in your life, even if let's say you're not in your mid-20s or late-20s or early-30s, you bought a first property, a two-beta or one-beta, and you think that, hey, I'm going to hold this property forever. Now, based on my experience in the last 16, 17 years, I have never seen a person that owns a property forever because of ABSD. And most of the time, a lot of switching starts in 3, 5, 8 year season, either because of preferences, needs, school. And thus, it is important to know that you need to have a level of flexibility. So if you were to step back from this temptation and say, hey, I'm going to buy this property, I'm going to own it for life, then what's going to happen is that your selection will then be not on much of an alert mode. You need to take note that if you enter with a perspective that maybe down the road, 3, 5, 8, 10 years time, I might want to have the flexibility to exit from this current property because I want to switch to something else without incurring ABSD. Then it's important to select something with a mindset that, hey, today I buy into this property at this quantum. 3, 4 years later, based on the estimated asking price that I hope to attain, let's say I get in at about 870, 880, I hope to at least have an exit of 1.08 or maybe have a $200,000 appreciation in terms of the overall value. So based on this, is this something that is palatable and digestible for the next buyer buying my property 3 years later in the year 2026, for example? Of course, take note, this is an old price range already. All these prices don't exist. This was a 2015 pricing when the TOP was about 2018, 2019. So today, if you go for something at $2,000 plus PSF, at a quantum of maybe about $2 million. You need to visualize in the year 2026 when you want to exit, when you TOP, or maybe you want to stay 1 to 2 years, you exit in 2028. Is the expected amount that you hope to attain, let's say you enter at $2 million, you want to exit at $2.3, $2.4 million, is that going to be something that is palatable to the next buyer audience to digest your unit? So this is a mindset that all of us need to have when you enter into a real estate investment. Because if you were to enter, for example, in this district, you also need to understand, by understanding the digestibility of your overall quantum in 3 to 4 years' time, can the demographics in this district support that level of income and quantum? So this is something you need to understand. Because if, let's say, you go into an area, you got a 2-bedder for $2 million, but the demographics around that district or enclave in future cannot support the $2.4 million that you want for your 2-bedder, that is going to be a problem. Because then when you want to exit, you realize that, hey, why is it that there's no viewings? Why is it that at this quantum, nobody is even inquiring for my listing? And this has to do with quantum range. Now, why is now quantum the topic rather than PSF level? Because in the past, actually in the past before the 2013 era, okay, by the way, just a quick shout out, we just launched our PLB quarterly report, Q1 report. Right now, of course, it's June already, but we launched this report, I think, during May. The reason is because data always come out later. So usually first quarter, URL release maybe in April, we take a bit of time, we come out in May. Okay, so we've come out with the latest report. We talk about a lot of good stuff right here. So if you have not gotten our quarter one PLB research team's report on the real estate market in Singapore, do email us at insights@plb.sg. And or you can leave a comment down below. We'll be very happy to send you the report. Now, coming back to this, the reason why quantum and PSF is an overall different topic right now, the key rationale was because of the trigger event that happened during 2013. So a quick recap, 2013 was the heaviest season in the history of Singapore because the change happened due to TDSR implementation as well as the whole slew of ABSD that came in. The moment TDSR came in, the income level to qualify for higher loans instantaneously drop because it's a prudency check by MAS. All banks are interlinked. They get to see your credit score before the bank decide how much to loan you. So everybody has a dip in terms of the overall borrowing ability. That has changed the behavior of developers when they craft units to release in the market. So how has it changed? The change happened in these two charts here. If you notice, this is an overall breakdown of unit sizes. The change happened in the sense that you will realize that the shift from 2000 to 2013 was predominantly towards the bigger units. So they were predominantly towards the 1,000 square feet, 1,003, 1,007 square feet. There's a higher volume of units being crafted during that season. And after 2013, you realize that it shifted towards the left-hand side with more 1-bedders and 2-bedders and smaller compact 3-bedders being created. And the 4-bedders, bigger 3-bedders, the 3-bed study has a lower population. Rationale, if developers continue to craft units with a higher PSF because they bidded the land, tendered the land at a higher level of PSF, and you just imagine today, if let's say they're launching at $2,300 per square foot and they continue to build three bidders at 1,000, 3,000, 4 square feet, what is going to be the overall quantum? And we are talking maybe about OCR region. So if you look at maybe they continue to craft at 1,003 square feet times 2,003, a three bidder is going to cost you 2.99 million for a 99 years OCR area. And what will be the demographics that can actually absorb this kind of units? So because of that, they have to resort to crafting more efficient units. Now take note, if you have not seen the 8-9 different floor plans, so we talk about the seasons of the condo layouts. Technically, there are three seasons. The first season was the season whereby a lot of space were given to the living and dining space and the bedrooms, and there were no balconies. Those projects are, for example, if you live in D14, it'll be like Simsville. If you live in like D10, it'll be like Valley Park. Most of the projects has no balcony. The living room, dining is huge. Bedrooms are huge. There was another season. That season was the introduction of a lot of spaces like RC ledges. You have bay windows, you have super long foyers, you have huge balconies, you have balconies at your bedrooms. There were a lot of course, all these spaces back then. And then now the latest season is the efficient season, because this season right now, most of the units, three bedders, 900 plus square feet. So back to the example, why do developers go through this season? Predominantly, changes in terms of the usage of all these kind of spaces like balcony for extra GFA and all that kind of stuff. Government has actually tweaked it over the years and to make sure that developers, of course, do it responsibly. Now we're in a season where the sizes are efficient. No longer 1,003 square feet for most of the three bedders. Now predominantly is about 958 square feet. So if you take 958 square feet multiplied by 2,003 PSF, that's about 2.2 million compared to 2.9 million for 1,003 square feet three bidder. So developers have to make things more efficient and they have to make the layout more efficient. Of course, the bedroom size has shrunk, living room has shrunk, but overall, in terms of usability and in terms of the layout and the kind of layout technology, it is still very functional. So 2.2 million more palatable, maybe in the OCR zone or RCR zone compared to 2.9 million. And that's the reason why right now, quantum is the topic all the time. Not so much of PSF. However, if you have seen our home tours, PSF is still important, because if you can hit this trifactor, let me just bring up some trifactor of our home tours. Basically, trifactor we usually talk about in the home tour is that if you go for resale properties, usually you can hunt for trifactor kind of assets where you get a nice entry quantum, you get a nice size in terms of the unit size, and you get a nice safety PSF level. And you cannot usually get trifactor in new launches, because in new launches, you usually cannot have the missing link of trifactor. Why? Because for new launches, their PSF is always the highest in the enclave, in the region. And that is because they are new, and developers, when they bid for land, they have to factor in the construction cost, the margin, in order for them to make sense to run this business. And of course, in exchange, you get a fresh 99-year lease, you get a brand new design, a brand new project, and you get the herd mentality. Because everybody enters during launch, when you TOP, the herd mentality effect is the strongest. All right, herd mentality is in episode 1 and 2. Go to that. And that's the reason why a lot of people love new launches, because of herd mentality. Now, coming back to this. In today's context, quantum is the most important. I'm not saying that PSF is not important, but quantum is the first decision matrix that everybody need to have. The rationale is this. When you have quantum, it gives you a mindset to think whether in 3, 4, 5, 6 years' time, if I add on a profit margin that I hope to attain, hopefully I buy in the right property, hopefully my property appreciates in 3 to 5 years time, and I want to at least exit only when it hits maybe a $300,000 appreciation. Now take note, real estate leveraging is very different. Remember the topic we talked about just now in Regentville? You could have bought a $900,000 three-bedded Regentville 152 square feet with a down payment of about 200 and how much was that? 60,000, okay? Oh, no. 261,000, all right? Today, you have to buy a Regentville at 1.3 million Down payment is about 377, including your buyer's stamp duty. 261,377. Now, no matter what it is, let's say you bought Region View today, 1.3 million, 2026. Assuming it appreciates to 1.6 million, for example, maybe in the year 2026, at 1.6 million, the PSF is still at about 1388 PSF. It's still very reasonable in the year 2026. This $300,000 appreciation is very different because your investment is $377,000. So we call this the cash on cash return, or in another essence, we call it the return on your investment equity. So if you take $300,000 divided by 377, your appreciation based on your initial investment is 79%. So real estate investment is different because when you invest in real estate, you leverage the 75% loan from the bank. The bank do not need to share your profit. This is very different from investing in any other things. If somebody invests in your business, when your business appreciates in terms of valuation and you want to exit, the shareholders share all the profits, right? But in real estate, you are the only shareholder. You own the title in the sense that although the bank is sort of like your partner in owning this asset because you pay 25%, you loan 75%, but your bank is only interested in your property. If you cannot pay the installment for 3 months, they have the right to repossess the home and for sale it. They also are only interested in the interest payment that is factored into your monthly installment to them. So basically, you pay a monthly installment, there's a principal and interest component. So that's all that they're interested. And they're really interested to loan you because this is considered a good asset and the collateral is so strong because it's a physical asset and real estate valuation is fantastic. It is there. There's so many other usages, right? You can rent out and things like that. Now, coming back to the topic. So your return on your initial investment is drastically different because you are not pegging that $300,000 over the appreciation of the overall price of that property. You're basically appreciated by $300,000 against the $377,000 that you initially invested. And that is what we call return on initial investment. You can also call it cash on cash return, right? So based on that, the quantum decision is then even more important because you then have to know. Because we're in Singapore, and if let's say you are single, or maybe you and your hubby, you and your wife, you're buying one property each, one for stay, one for investment. The name is so precious right now because of ABSD. Second property that you're going to incur ABSD. Third property you're going to incur ABSD. You then have to know that the investment property that you're going into, or even the primary property that you're going into, you must make sure that when you want to exit, is there an audience to exit? That will help you to ascertain the decision factor right now or whether is this property the right type of property, the right quantum, the right bedroom type. Is the number of bedrooms sufficient? When I want to exit, what is the audience that is going to digest and absorb my unit? If there's no audience next time, then you'll find that it's very hard to exit. And that is what we mean by quantum versus PSF. Because the PSF in the mind of consumers today is of lesser importance already. They are mostly asking about the overall quantum because that is what is important to qualify for a loan from the bank. And the banks look at overall quantum. They don't look at PSF. Similarly, in future, the future audience also will likely look at quantum on a higher level. So I hope that this episode will add value to you on cracking the code part 3 with some of these key concepts. All the way from part 4 to part 10, we're gonna go in even deeper. But what I hope to always do is to break it down into very easy, digestible, understandable kind of concepts for everybody to share. And I hope that I added value to you. Meantime, we'll see you on the next NOTG Banter episode as well as the next Cracking the Code part 4. Take care.